Maybe I'm the only person that does this, but do you ever imagine what it would be like if for some reason you found yourself to be the only person alive on the planet? One or two smiles, that's reassuring, not all blank faces. For some reason I quite often think about this. What would I do if some cataclysm took place and the result was that I survived and no one else around here seemed to have survived? One of the first things I would do, I think, is I would try and get myself the very best radio that I could. And I would set it up and listen avidly through the bands of the radio, hoping to hear some broadcast, some sign of life from the rest of the world. Because the thought of being the only person is, it's abhorrent, isn't it? It's frightening. And I would want to hear some other human voice. And if possible, if my radio was good enough that I could transmit as well and maybe speak to those people, I would want to try and meet up with them. I would want to be with other people. Why? I don't think I'm unusual in that regard. Well, because we're made to be social. We're made for relationship. We're made to be close to others. We need to be close to others. At the same time, I hope that I would continue to pray. I hope that I would seek God all the more earnestly. Because the relationship that I have with God now would probably take on a more profound and wonderful meaning in that situation. Because not only are we made for relationship with people, we're made for relationship with God. And it would surely be our human instinct not only to reach out to others, but to reach out to God if we did find ourselves alone. Because nothing can substitute for relationship. And no human relationship can substitute for our relationship with God. Recently I've been thinking in my preaching about the love of Jesus for us. The length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And there is nothing greater than to know that love. Nothing more wonderful than to be with Jesus. No greater privilege for us to have than to share fellowship with him. And I've come this morning to the book of Hebrews just to build on that a wee bit. Because Hebrews tells us with rousing certainty that we can be close to God. And that we can be close to God through Jesus. Verse 19 of Hebrews 10. We have confidence, says the writer, to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And verse 22, therefore let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Let's draw near. We can do it. The blood of Christ, verse 19 says, secures this blessing, this benefit. We can do it. We don't need to be isolated from God. We don't need to be alienated from God. We can draw near to God. We can live near to God. And so as you look at your life this morning, are you someone who lives near to God? Do you live in the presence of God? Do you live with God's company in your life? The God who gave his son, Jesus, for you. Would you say that's you? Would you say that you know what it is to draw near to God, to live near to God? Because what I'm wanting to encourage you to do today is to do that, to draw near with confidence, to live near to God, because God has made it possible for you to do so. Back to the subject of radios. When I was a teenager, I inherited an old valve radio from my grandparents. And it was a marvellous old machine. It's up in my attic now. I've got better radios now. And I'll need to give it some attention someday and get it going again. But in any case, I used to, late at night as a teenager, having rigged up this very primitive long wire. It wasn't that long because our garden wasn't that big. It was a council house. This long wire aerial to receive things on this valve radio. I used to tune in with great fascination to stations broadcasting from all over the world. And I had a log book and I would log them, you know, Radio Baghdad, Radio Sophia, The Voice of America, or Family Radio from Oakland, California. Radio Moscow World Service was ubiquitous. Radio Peking, that tells you how old I was. And lots of, you know, All India Radio. There was a whole, they became very familiar voices. And it was exotic, especially for a wee boy sitting in his council house in Alness. It was exotic to hear all those faraway places. Thing was, though, the radio wasn't that great. The aerial wasn't that great. And shortwave is a very unreliable medium. Propagation in shortwave depends very much on sunspot activity, believe it or not. It's got a lot to do with the weather on the sun. And it affects how stations can bounce their signals back and forth up into the ionosphere and back down and back and forth around the globe. Sometimes you could receive those signals and sometimes you couldn't. Sometimes they were really badly interfered with. You could hardly make out what was being said. Sometimes they would fade away and then they would come back a bit and then they would fade away. And I would chase these signals, but they were difficult to follow. Hard to make reliable contact. I think many people think that's the way it is with God. That it's hard to make reliable contact with God. There's too much interference, too much unpredictability about the whole setup. Hebrews is telling us it's not like that. Hebrews is telling us that it's possible to hear from God loud and clear. In my logbook, I used to log using a system called SINPO, and the five letters stood for signal, interference, noise, propagation, and overall for the signal. And there was a scale 1 to 5. So 1 was really bad. So if it was 1, then it was almost indistinguishable from the background noise, almost undetectable, almost unusable, severely interfered with. Through to 5. 5 was where the signal was excellent and there was no interference and it was extremely strong. Where in the scale is your relationship with God? Is the signal you're receiving from God today pretty much undetectable or undetected by you? So much interference that you're hardly getting through. Unusable, unstable, unreliable. Or, at the other end of the scale, is your relationship with God like a strong, clear signal? Excellent, without interference, perfect communication and communion between yourself and God. The book of Hebrews, the whole Bible actually, is telling us, or trying to tell us, that it is possible for us to have good reception in our relationship with God. It's possible for us to have really clear communication between us and God. Really close fellowship with God. And just these verses that we're looking at tell us, well, many reasons, but I'm just going to focus on three brief reasons why. Our relationship with God in Jesus is, first of all, it's set up. Secondly, it's sustained. And thirdly, it's secured. Set up, sustained, and secured. Very simple. It's set up. A relationship with God. In other words, God has equipped himself to bring us close to him. God is equipped. God is in a position for us to be close to him. And it's through what verse 19 calls the blood of Jesus. And there's imagery in these verses which draws upon the Old Testament. It draws upon the temple, and particularly it draws upon the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the portable meeting place for Israel with God. It was the place where the priests ministered in the center of the camp when they were traveling up from Egypt to the Promised Land. And it was the place in which at the center there was this room called the Most Holy Place. Behind a curtain, this room where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the lid of the Ark called the Mercy Seat, and the cherubim, the angelic figures. And between those figures, there was a manifestation of the glory of God. And so it was a place where, at the heart of the people, God was present, and where man met with God. Incredible, incredibly powerful picture as well. God loves visual aids, and this is such a powerful visual aid. And I'm actually hoping later on in the year to preach on the tabernacle. I've been reading about it and getting excited about it. We'll come back to that, all being well. But there's a lot about the tabernacle in Hebrews. And here in chapter 10 and at verse 19, Jesus is spoken of as having shed his blood, the blood of Jesus. In verse 20, he has gone through the curtain, the picture of the curtain that separates the whole universe, the rest of the world, from God, who's dwelling in the most holy place. He's gone through that curtain, and he has presented his blood, presented his sacrifice of himself, his death, to God. And now, verse 21, ministers as a great priest over the house of God. God has indicated his acceptance of what Jesus did by tearing the curtain. Now, the curtain wasn't the curtain of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle had long since been superseded by the temple. And the temple that was present in Jesus' day when he died on the cross was a temple that Herod the Great was in the process of building. And it was already functioning. And there was this huge curtain, it's about 60 foot high, that separated the most holy place from the rest of the universe. The place where God was from people. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Gospels tell us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. God did it. It was a very, very thick, heavy piece of material. It wasn't a man accomplished feat. God was saying, there is no longer a necessary separation between me and you people. Because of what Jesus has done, I'm equipped to meet with you wherever you are. And so to impress upon us and accentuate his acceptance of Jesus, he raises him from the dead. And then Jesus ascends to God and presents himself to God, as verse 21 says, a great priest over the house of God. Jesus presents himself to God, presents to God his sacrifice in heaven constantly. He's there constantly ministering in heaven. So that here on the 22nd of May 2016, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, is ministering in the presence of God the Father in heaven, presenting to him the sacrifice that he made for our sins, so that God is, by that process, by that presentation, by that priesthood, by that sacrifice, equipped to receive anyone who would come to him. And this is a matter of, well, it's a matter of God's love. He's done this for us. And it's a matter of history. The Gospels are telling us history. It's a matter of something that's in place, something that's been accomplished, and something that now Jesus presents to God, and through which Jesus says to God, I have made the sacrifice, sin is paid for, you can no longer hold anything against anyone who comes to you through me. You, God, can no longer hold anything against anyone who comes to you through me. Verse 19, therefore, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. We can go into the presence of God. We can go into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened up for us through that curtain, that is the sacrifice of his body. He is our great priest over the house of God. Therefore, let us draw near to God with full assurance of faith. Because it's possible. It's provided for. It's set up. The equipment is in place. God is ready to receive any who come to him through Jesus. The second thing is, it's sustained. God is equipped for us to be with him forever. It's not just something that gives us a wee glimpse or a little taste. It's something that enables us to come to the presence of God, to draw near to God, and to stay near to God. We can live now and forever in the presence of God. What Hebrews is telling us here and throughout the book is that, back to the radio illustration again, that you can always tune in and get full signal strength with God. You can always tune in and remain tuned in to him. There's nothing unreliable or intermittent about God's equipment, about God's connection with us. We can trust it completely. What Jesus has done enables us to receive God loud and clear and to live in his presence. All this through the blood of Jesus, as verse 19 says. This new and living way has been opened, verse 20 says, and it remains open to you. So your vision should be, you know, that you can live with God always. Not in a relationship which is fitful, but a relationship which is sustained. Hebrews is telling that so clearly. We can be with God constantly. We can draw near, and we can stay near. And the third thing then is that relationship that we have with Jesus, or that we can have with Jesus, is not only set up and it's not only sustained, but it's secured. We can have complete confidence in it. We can have absolute certainty about it. Verse 19, therefore, we have confidence, it says. And again in verse 22, let's draw near to God with full assurance of faith. If we choose to do it, we can do it. We can have absolute confidence that this is possible for each one of us, to be near to God. It's in our hands. God is completely equipped. He's completely ready for you and me to be close to him. There's no problem on his side. It's all in our hands. It's a bit like, you know, a signal coming in loud and clear to your aerial and the radio's in perfect working order, but it's your choice whether or not you switch it on. Have you switched on to God in Jesus? Because you can't. It's possible. It's guaranteed. If you draw near to God, that you will be able to do so. And so it says in verse 22, let us draw near. It doesn't say, let's try. We can have confidence. Let's just do it, is what it's saying. The book of Hebrews is all about that confidence. It's all about faith and confidence as being one and the same thing. So verse 19 says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. That's confidence to come into God's presence. Verse 22, let's do it. Let's draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Faith. Confidence. Just a few verses on, beginning of chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. The latest edition of the NIV actually is, faith is confidence in what we hope for. Confidence in what we hope for. And assurance is what it says, or certainty of what we do not see. We can be absolutely confident. Faith is confidence that God is equipped, has provided for a way for you and me to come to him through Jesus. It's done. So it's not presumption for you to come to God. It's not like coming to God is something that you really ought not to do, and it's a bit risky and dodgy because God's kind of unpredictable. It's not like that. God is completely predictable. God has set himself up to be close to you through Jesus, and he just says to you, come. You come. You come, and you come thankful. Well, thankful for the blood of Jesus. Thankful that it's not your blood that's been shed for your sins. It's Jesus' blood. Sorry for your sins that it was necessary for Jesus' blood to be shed to pay for those sins, to pay the punishment for them. And turning away from those sins, you come to God. And you can tell him, as you thank him and as you turn away from those sins, that you've come to him and you intend to stay. Because he's made that possible. And it doesn't matter who you are. When I was preparing this yesterday, the phone rang. And the number came up on the phone, and I thought, looks like a nuisance call. And so it was. Hello, sir. My name is Sean. Sorry, I must not do the accent. My name is Sean. And how are you today, sir? I said, I'm very well, thank you, Sean. I'm calling from TalkTalk, and we have reports from your modem that there is interference in your line and you're not getting the full benefit of your broadband, etc., etc. So I stopped him there and I said to him, Sean, how many lies do you tell every day? And he stopped for a minute, and honestly, this is what he said. Well, sir, about 500. He did. I couldn't believe it. Because I've had these calls from TalkTalk, and they're not TalkTalk, and I looked them up, later just for interest, and, you know, people all over the country are being scammed by these people. 500 lies a day. Well, I was preparing this at the time, and no point in keeping it to myself and leaving it till Sunday morning, so I said, Sean, that's a lot of lies. When we lie, Sean, we need to be forgiven. We need forgiveness from God. And the only way to get that is through Jesus. Sean, you need to come to God through Jesus and find forgiveness. And while you're at it, try and find a job where you don't have to tell 500 lies a day. and where you're not exploiting people. Thank you very much, sir. Goodbye. And that was the end of the call. So I feel it in your heart, pray for Sean. I'm sure that's probably not his name either, but in any case, I thought, well, a man who tells 500 lies a day needs Jesus. But a man who tells 500 lies a day can come to Jesus, can come to God through Jesus, because we can have confidence that the way, the new and living way, to God through Jesus is able to deal with 500 lies a day and is able to deal with whatever we present to God by way of the mistakes and sins and failures of our lives. We can come in faith and in confidence. And it doesn't matter how we feel. You know, so many people get hung up about feelings. Think, you know, I can see this in my head, but I don't feel it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. Confidence is something of the will. You see this and you act on it. And you come to God through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. And no doubt, in due time, you will get feelings. Feelings of confidence. But the confidence that's been spoken of here is a confidence which is a trust in what God is telling us here about what he's done in Jesus. A confidence that our relationship with God can be secure through Jesus. A confidence which Hebrews 6 describes as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. That's a great picture, isn't it? Hebrews 6:19, an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And then it's the same pictures here. It says, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. And so again, Hebrews 13:6, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. We live in a society of great confusion and of very little confidence. People are looking around to try and find confidence here and there and everywhere. They're tuning their radios, if you like, tuning the receivers of their lives to try and find a signal that gives strong confidence to them. They're trying to find someone, some politician, you know, some religion, you know, some guru, some business leader or whatever, who will give to them confidence, who will give, show them a sure way. And all the time, the message of Jesus is coming loud and clear, certainly to us. Why would we want to tune into anything else? Why would we want to put our confidence in anything or anyone else? We want to have confidence in Jesus, in the new and living way, so that we can convey and communicate, broadcast that confidence to our communities, where people are looking for that in which they can place their confidence. We can place our confidence in Jesus. Therefore, verse 19 says, you know, let us have confidence to enter God's presence by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near to God, verse 22 says, in full assurance of faith. Let's do it. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be apologetic. Let's not be unsure about this. Let's not worry about our feelings. Let's just come. Draw near and stay near through Jesus. Amen.